So, we're in Isaiah chapter 12, having travelled through the previous 11 chapters over the last few weeks. Let's go back for a moment to last week, to Isaiah chapter 11. And if you were here, you may remember, yeah, I'm sure you will remember actually, that Tom and Josie illustrated the message of Isaiah 11 by using donuts. I wonder if you can remember what the three different donuts represented. First of all, there's a donut with the hole in it, the ring donut. And the strap line was, there's something missing without Jesus. Yes. Someone once said, there's a God-shaped hole in every human heart. So that ring donut with the hole in the middle reminds us that no human life is fully complete without Jesus. Then there was a donut with the filling in the middle. What did that represent?
The best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come. So you bite into the donut, but you get to the middle bit, which is what you're after, whether it's custard or caramel or jam or whatever. The best is yet to come. God has the best ready for us. It's yet to come. And then thirdly, there were a pack of donuts, and that was to represent sharing. We must share this news today, and I thought that was a great illustration and good to remember. So Isaiah 11 last week prophesied the coming of the promised one, the Messiah, and his reign of peace that he will bring in. So Isaiah 12 that we look at today is a joyful response to that hope that Messiah will come and bring in a new reign of peace. Isaiah 12 only has 6 verses, but it's a short yet powerful song of praise and thanksgiving, celebrating God's salvation rescue, his presence among his people. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, just for a few minutes. And there's some notes on the back of your sheet. I've just noticed, though, there's only 4 points, but there should be 6, so you'll have to write down the 5th and 6th when we come to it, although they are fairly self-evident. So we'll go through verse by verse if you want to look at it then in your Bible. So verse 1, from anger to comfort. In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. So there's transformation from divine anger to divine comfort. It's often said, isn't it, that God hates sin, but God loves the sinner. He hates sin, but he loves us, even though sometimes we sin. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we read, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God's heart is full of love for us, and his longing is that we might turn to him. Put our trust in Jesus, come to know God in a personal way. And God is not a faraway, remote God, but a God has shown his love for us. Paul says, Romans 5, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Jesus didn't wait for us to work our way up to a certain level of behavior. He didn't wait till we become perfect, because we never will. He died for us while we were yet sinners. In something that we call the prayer of humble access, sometimes used in the communion service, it says this: you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Whose nature is always to have mercy. So through Jesus, we are forgiven, made new, set free. And notice in this verse, there's an emphasis on personal testimony, sharing. In that day, you'll say, I will praise you, Lord. though you're angry with me, your anger has turned away and you've comforted me. So it's something personal. Let's move on to verse 2. God is my salvation. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Such assurance and trust in the saving power of God. Not trusting in oneself. Have you noticed that there's a whole army of self-help books? Self-help books in the shops. And yet, we all know that we can't sometimes help ourselves. We don't have what it takes. It's not enough. So who do we turn to? We turn to God. We trust in his power, not the things that the world offers. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter, speaking of Jesus, says, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to us by which we must be saved." Jesus only is the answer to our deepest problems. He only is the one who saves us. As the song says, in Christ alone our hope is found. And there's a theme here of trusting God. I will trust and not be afraid. Are we in that position where we truly lean on God, trust in him? Get rid of fear because we trust in God. Verse 3, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. It's that kind of metaphor, isn't it, of drawing water from the wells. When I'd finished my run this morning, the first thing I did when I got home was have a good drink of refreshing, nourishing water. So that water symbolizes refreshment, life, joy that we find in the grace of God. The imagery of renewal and abundance. In John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So Jesus satisfies the deepest thirst of our hearts, for he is the living water. In John, later in that same chapter, John 6, some of Jesus' followers turn away. They find his words too hard. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says to them, "Are you too going to leave me?" And Peter says, "Lord, to whom should we go? For you have the words of eternal life." He is the one who satisfies. Verse 4, in that day you will say, "Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Proclaim that his name is exalted." So there's a focus on telling others, sharing what God has done. Don't hold it to ourselves. Many years ago, in the church where I was minister, there was a lovely lady called Avril, and she had a great story to tell, a testimony of God's grace and love for her in a really tough situation. And so I said to Avril, "Would you like to share your testimony?" And she said, "Oh, no, I'm not into sharing testimonies. But Avril, I just want you to share your story." "Oh, yeah, I'll share my story." And she didn't really like the word testimony, but sharing her story was something she was willing to do, and she did in a powerful way. And the truth is, if we know God, trust in Jesus, we all have a story to tell. This is a verse with a real challenge. Remember, just before Jesus left the disciples to return to his Father, he said to them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." We're called to be witnesses, to tell others what we know, share our experience of God's love in Christ. And one of the verses we hang on to sometimes and we treasure is that verse at the end of Matthew's Gospel where Jesus says, I am with you always. But often we forget the context in which he says that. Let me read it to you. This is Jesus to his disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So it's in the context of us going out into the world, maybe into our workplace, into our neighborhood, or wherever we are, as we go sharing the good news of God's love. Jesus says, I am with you in that. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. And this is where the challenge comes. Are we willing and ready to share our story when opportunity arises? Are we willing to share what God has done for us in my life, in your life? And so I want to challenge you to think about this. Are you willing to ask God today that he will give you opportunity in the next week or so, maybe 2 days, to share your story with someone? Let me just give you a moment to think about that. So I'm going to ask you to respond and say that you will if you want to. There's no compulsion to respond to this. But I want to ask those of you who are willing simply to say privately a prayer to God. God, would you give me an opportunity to share something of your love, my story, this week? And if you're willing to do that, I'd just like you to just raise your hand. Sometimes it's good to respond in that way. I'm raising my hand. I don't have to do that. Let me just say a little prayer then. Lord, thank you that the gospel is such good news. Thank you that you love us so much. And for those of us who've lifted our hands, and perhaps others who will do later, in our hearts, we want to ask you to give us opportunity over the next few days to share something of our story, what you mean to us. Lord, give us the boldness, give us the courage, give us the words to say. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And the reality is, you don't have to be a Bible scholar, you don't have to know the Bible back to front, you don't have to have a theology degree, you just have to have a story, a relationship with God that you can share. Let's move on to verse 5. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Joyful worship, celebration. Psalm 105 says, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. We think about what God has done, for us, what God is doing around. Sue and I were at Harlow Carr Gardens up near Harrogate the other day, and just to see the beautiful colours, even in November, or October, November, amazing. Those of you football fans will know that you go to the match, and when your team scores, you jump up and you celebrate. And probably you sing along with the rest of the crowd and celebrate your heroes. But how much more should we celebrate what God has done, what God is doing? In Hebrews 13, it says, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes it's hard to praise God because we're going through a tough time. We're struggling. But we find that when we still praise God, put on a praise tape. Oh, you don't use tapes anymore, do you? CD, don't even use CDs, whatever. Put some praise music on, sing along. that can lift our spirits. Just think about Paul and Silas in Philippi. They'd been severely beaten. They'd been thrown into prison. And what were they doing at midnight? Having a praise party. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Lifts the spirit. And then finally, verse 6. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. So it's a call to praise God together as the people of God. Celebrates the Holy One of Israel dwelling among his people and reinforcing that intimacy, that nearness of God. God comes near. And it's a, if you like, a prophetic glimpse of the joy that believers experience through Jesus Christ. Of course, Isaiah was prophesying hundreds of years before Jesus was born. But he saw something of the glory to come. And of course, one of the names given to Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Isn't that wonderful? What assurance we're given. And that just reminded me, as we draw near to a conclusion, that passage in at the end of Revelation 21, where we have John is given a glimpse of what is to come for all God's people. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. If our faith is in Jesus, that's our future. Something to look forward to, something to celebrate. But even now we celebrate that God is with us. We have the best news. Let's go and share it. And if you've probably noticed that banner up at the, as you walk out the door, it says, welcome to the mission field. That's the mission field out there, where we work, where we live, in our families. What a privilege to share the best news of all. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for the message of Isaiah. Sometimes it's been tough to hear the message of judgment on those who turn away from you. But Lord, thank you for your overwhelming grace and mercy and love. Thank you that in you we have so much to celebrate. Just help us to, as we travel through each day, even in the tough times, may we lift our eyes to you and celebrate all that you have done for us and are doing in us and will do in the future. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.